Good morning. I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 10:06 a.m. on Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. Present this morning are Representative LeBon, Co-Chair Foster, and myself, Co-Chair Merrick, Representative Rasmussen, and we've been joined by Vice Chair Ortiz, and we have Representative Tarr with us this morning as well. We're going to consider House Bill 357, naming the Insook Beck Bridge by Representative Tarr. Welcome back to House Finance, Representative Tarr, if you'd like to come forward and begin your presentation. And Representative Johnson has joined us.
Good morning, Madam Co-Chair and Mr. Co-Chair and members of the committee. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be before you this morning to present House Bill 357, naming a bridge in our district after a great community leader in Insook Beck. I'm going to just start my comments and then hand it off to David to do the presentation. This has been a really fun project we've been working on for the last couple of years, and he's going to describe the process we went through in coming up with the bill that is before you today, but it's been community-driven and been really fun to just network with our neighbors and recognize one of the people in our area that has contributed a lot to the community. So with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Song.
Thank you, and let the record reflect at 10:08, we're joined by Representative Thompson. Mr. Song.
For the record, David Song, staff to Representative Tarr. And to the members of the House Finance Committee, it's my pleasure to present to you today on House Bill 357, the Insook Beck Bridge, or I guess in the Korean syntax, the Beck Insook Bridge. Just for context, we put this legislation in after the passage of HB 27, the Irene Weber Bridge. And after the passage of that bill, we were made aware of an unnamed bridge in our district. That bridge, for those familiar with the Anchorage area, it's the overcrossing of Burgaw Street over the Glen Highway in Mountain View. So here's an overhead map of the location of the bridge, and here is the street view. So those of you who are from Anchorage, you can see Clark Middle School in the background here. So when we put in this legislation, we wanted to ensure that this was a neighbor-led process to determine the name of the bridge. So we collaborated with the community councils in our district for months prior to the introduction of this legislation in order to get suggestions for potential honorees. And so after gathering those names from community councils, we created an online survey for constituents to weigh in and also provide additional suggestions. So here is the list of names that we received. So I'm not going to go through every single name, but if you read through our list, you can see that there's a diverse mix of names, people who are both living and past, people from many different ages and all different kinds of work, and people from both sides of the political aisle. But everyone on this list has done great work in our community, and they're all worthy of consideration. So after collecting responses from our neighbors, we saw that the support kind of coalesced around Insook Beck, who is the owner of the Mountain View Shell Station and the organizer of an annual Thanksgiving meal drive. We received overwhelming interest and support from the Korean community in Anchorage, and that made us comfortable with putting this legislation forward. So now that we know the process through which this name was determined, we want to provide some background about Insook Beck. Insook is a 35-year resident of Anchorage, but she's originally from South Korea. And during her life in Korea, she had the misfortune of living through the Korean War. But she turned that kind of that painful experience to a deep desire to help others in need. So as a prominent business owner in her community, she's been organizing a large-scale Thanksgiving meal drive every year for over a decade. And this has grown to be a massive endeavor with the 2021 meal drive serving nearly 1,000 meals. And so since she's doing this for almost a decade, this amounts to thousands of meals for the Mountain View neighborhood coming directly out of her own pocket. And for her service, she's been recognized by the Bridge Builders with the Presidential Service Award. And yeah. So she's also received extensive news coverage for her meal drive. And here are just some photos from those articles. This is the 2017, the last slide, and this is the most recent meal drive in 2021. And these are also some of the volunteers that Insook has gathered to help serve those hundreds of meals that she distributes. So this kind of speaks to her influence in the community and she's able to coordinate large numbers of volunteers every year, even during the pandemic. And finally, here is her Mountain View Shell station, where there's the sign for her meal drive. So here, we're returning to that tremendous support that we've received for this legislation. The Korean American community of Anchorage has mobilized in a big way for this bill. They created an online petition which had over 200 signatures as of the creation of this slideshow, and there are many paper petitions that were distributed around Anchorage which also contributed dozens of additional signatures in support of this legislation. And we've also received letters of support from ABC, the Anchorage Black Caucus, and KECA, which is the Korean American Community of Anchorage. So I want to wrap up this presentation with some quotes about Insook that, you know, demonstrate her connection to the Mountain View community. So, you know, her son, Peter Beck, kind of described her by saying, you know, she's fallen in love with the community here. It's one of the few places where people will give their last dollar to each other, and I think that pulls at her heartstrings. And she also has a story here of how she served a meal to someone who was new to the community, and he had no car, no job. And then many years later, he came back and you know, told her that she was employed and had a place to live. And he actually gave her money to pay for the supplies for next year's food drive. So yeah, in conclusion, this is just a great opportunity to recognize an Alaskan for her years of generosity to her community. It's a great example of the American dream. And you know, I think it just embodies the best of Anchorage and of Alaskans generally. And so we would appreciate your support for HB 337.
Thank you. And Mr. Song, did you place yourself on the record? Okay, perfect. Again, not a morning person. Okay, comments on House Bill 357. Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Just wanted to say I thought this was a great job of working with the community to identify numerous people and getting the community support in choosing Insook, and just a great job of really describing what's being done in the community, what she's doing there. And so just want to say a great job. Thanks.
Great. Thank you very much. Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I appreciate this coming forward and always respect your connection to the community and making sure that your neighbors weigh in. I was curious, is it very common to name bridges when somebody is still living? It seems like we've done a lot of recognition, kind of, I guess, in memoriam for people who have passed on. So I was just curious, in your research, if you found very many other cases of recognizing somebody who's still with us.
Through the chair to Representative Rasmussen, it was one of our first questions because we weren't sure if that was allowed. We had seen that Representative Gillum had the bill to name a bridge after Representative Don Young, and of course this was before he passed. So we did learn that you are, you know, allowed to name after someone who's living or passed. And then when we presented the idea through the community council process, we wanted it to just be very neighbor driven. And so we just, all the names on the list that you saw there were the ones that people suggested at our community council meetings over a couple month period. And then we did the survey over the couple months after that and got the feedback. So we just let the neighbors lead it and went with what they suggested.
Follow up?
Thank you. Just quickly to follow up, I would assume that with multiple community councils, you were able to receive feedback pretty much in the entirety for the East Anchorage area, so it probably reached districts beyond your house district to have full community support, I'm assuming?
Through the chair to Representative Rasmussen, yes, that's a really good point, because, for example, in the Russian Jack Community Council area, it's represented also by Representative Josephson and Senator Gray Jackson, and even Representative Drummond has a little patch of that in there, and then Representative Sponholz. So, you know, that particular area is covered by several legislative districts, and they did all weigh in. And then a couple of the community councils did formal letters of support, and those should also be in the packet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great, thank you very much. And let the record reflect at 10:08 a.m. we were joined by Representative Carpenter. Further discussion before public testimony? Seeing none, I'm opening public testimony on House Bill 357. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, we will move online to Key Getty, the president of the Korean American Community of Anchorage. Welcome to House Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
My name is Key Getty. I'm the board president of Korean American Community of Anchorage, which was founded in 1973 as a 501c3 organization. I am a local CPA who is a semi-retired from an international CPA firm who ended up becoming a full-time assistant here. I am here to testify for HB 357 for two reasons. I think you already have the background information for InstaTech, and so I don't want to repeat what was already said. And I think she is a true role model for our time, where especially we Asians are marginalized. One thing that is very notable also is that we can be moved for the moment, and we give, and, you know, do good deeds and so on, but to keep giving consistently to the massive scale for, I believe, about 15 years that she's been doing this, it takes someone really special. I don't know if I can do that, and I consider myself a huge giver to the community. But I don't know if I can do what she had done. And we all remember where Mountain View area had been or known for. I know it's gotten a lot better, but we're talking about like years back, you know, with robberies, theft, and so much more. And I would think that a typical business owner would have just packed up and leave after a year or two. But instead, she decided to pay back in kindness and love. And because of her determination, she was not only able to endure all the things that she had to deal with, you know, doing business in the area, but she was able to rise above it all. And today she is still going. And so I think she is a true role model for Anchorage. And the second reason is that, and this is the president of a Korean community speaking, as a minority association, the 501c3 organization, we carry on community activities and events throughout the year. And we even own a building. We mobilize a huge human resource, but we operate based on only just the one part-time paid employee. We are all volunteers. I myself give about 50, this might be you might have a time believing this, but I actually right now give about 50% of my time for volunteer work. In fact, this Friday, we have a huge event for the scholarship, the annual scholarship day at the Lucek Library Auditorium, and you are all invited. We are able to give about 11,000 this year, and has been our one of our programs that's been going on for the past 20. This is the 20th year. And counting this year, we we went well beyond. We passed a quarter million about 4 years ago, I believe. So by now, we went over 300,000 in total giving to the community for the excuse me, for the high school graduates. And that's just one small program. And you know, I like I said, I volunteer not only for the Korean American community as the president, but when I was in school, I volunteered at the math tutor at the math lab and accounting lab. I, you know, helped with a building project for the Habitat for Humanity. I helped with the Chamber of Commerce of Spring Cleanup Day. Bridge Builders, Alaska Center. I mean, you know, I have served for many, many organizations during my life in Anchorage for the past 40 years. And I guess I could say we Koreans are resilient, very giving. We care for one another, and we will do whatever it takes to make our place a better place. And naming the bridge for Insutek would not only give the recognition that she deserves for her contribution to the community, but it would be an honor for the entire Korean American community for what the Korean community as a whole had contributed to the city of Anchorage. So I urge everyone to support this bill. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Getty. We really appreciate you calling in and testifying today. I see no questions. Is there anyone else in the room or online wishing to testify? Seeing no one, I will close public testimony on House Bill 357. We have Department of Transportation and Facilities Legislative Liaison, Mr. Andy Mills, with us, and he will present the fiscal note, which is OMB component number 564, fiscal note number 1. Thank you for being here, Mr. Mills.
For the record, Andy Mills, Legislative Liaison for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Yes, the fiscal note, which I will pull up if I need to, does detail on the analysis section the cost associated with the materials for that location. I believe they're around six and change. And if you need any further questions that I can try to address, please let me know.
Yes, and the second page of this fiscal note does say $6,700, but the first page, well, I guess it is, doesn't say zero. Oh, I see it under commodities. I apologize. Representative Laban.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Mills. It is Mr. Mills. Thank you. We have been naming a lot of bridges or overpasses in Alaska the last several years after very worthy Alaskans, and I absolutely agree this is a very worthy Alaskan. Could you help me understand, though, in our recent practice, has the state paid 100% of the cost? Have groups raised the money to pay for the materials for the signage? Or has there been any examples of a shared state pays half, maybe the group promoting the name change pays the other half? Could you enlighten me on recent best practices?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Laban. So I am familiar with this. Some older, so first of all naming of state infrastructure for DOT is done through AS 3540, and there you can see on a list there's a number of things from the Ted Stevens International Airport to the Steets Highway, and that is the mechanism by which DOT has the legislature designate a name, and we produce a fiscal note. In looking back the last 5 years on naming, I did note quite a few of them were zero fiscal notes, because they were associated with projects that were either ongoing already, and that's how signage can be accomplished, is of course when we have a project for a building or a road, signage is a part of the project. There were one or two that talked about it was designated the name, but that signage would be placed at a future time that a project happened at that site. So that is another option if that's the designation within the note. There are also are a couple pieces of legislation currently in the before the legislature for contemplation that would add a component for individuals, organizations to provide funds or even materials potentially as part of that signage, but that would be part of the naming legislation would designate whether it is the state and DOT would move forward with doing UGF, or if it's an individual, we would do statutorily designated program receipts and wait for the collection of those to produce the signage.
Follow up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And through the chair, there's been some recent bridges named, and I'm thinking that one of them was the Vietnam helicopters pilots or something similar to that. Are you familiar with that bridge name? And can you give me the details around that one?
Yes, through the chair, Representative LeBond. So that was from last year. Representative Shaw, I believe, was the sponsor of the Vietnam helicopter pilots memorial bridge. And that was placed on the Glen Highway, highway around the Mirror Lake area, I think. And that note, I believe, was along the same lines as this note. It was around $6,000 to $7,000, so same cost. And that designation was made. There was some conversation on the floor at that time about the ability for third parties to contribute, and I think that's what spawned the legislation that's in play. But as it stands right now, unless the bill states that we are able to coordinate or accept donations and we would reflect in the fiscal note that right now everything I'm familiar with refers to either a pending project, a current project, or is funded by the state through that fiscal note.
Yes, follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So effectively, has this overpass or bridge been designated in the name of Ms. Bach? And so that name is now on a reserve status with DOT?
Through the chair, Representative LeBond, the way this would functionally work, DOT maintains an annually, I believe, a bridge index. And if you go to our DOT website, you can look up. We index all of the pages, and that keeps factual information about all of those bridges. Each bridge has a bridge number, and normally we put those in the fiscal note to specify the exact bridge in question. And then it also has a name that is normally location related. So I think this is Braga is the location. And then those two names sit sort of on the index, and then this designation by the legislature, this naming, is what goes on the signage and also accompanies those as a reference. So there's all of these names help, but for the public facing sign, we use the designation provided by the legislature upon passage.
One last question.
Yes, Representative LeBond.
So if another group came forward and said, hey, we have another worthy Alaskan that we want to honor with the naming of this bridge or overpass, and they offered to the state or to the legislature that it was paid for by donations raised by that group, would that change the math on this in any way, or is this name now locked into this bridge pending action by us or some other action?
Through the chair, Representative LeBond. So, yeah, nothing ties it in, given, like many things, future legislative action. So future legislature could rename that bridge something else. Certainly, I don't see that probably happening, but that certainly could. And each individual bill that seeks to name something through AS 3540 could have language associated with it that allows third parties to provide. And so the process, as we've testified to some of the bills that are going through, is DOT would seek an MOU with a designated organization or individual. We would reflect in the fiscal note that we would be collecting those funds, and then upon collection of the full amount, we would produce the signage. But that would have to, again, be passed by the legislature with that specific language. And I think the bills moving through now seek to codify that process so that it can be referenced and not repeated every time a naming bill comes through.
Great. Thank you very much. And let the record reflect, at 10:26 a.m., we were joined by Representative Josephson. I see no further discussion, and I would like to say that Insook sounds like an amazing lady, and I will think about her every time I drive over that overpass headed to Costco. Brief at ease. House Finance on the record at 10:34 a.m. Further discussion on House Bill 357? Seeing none, Mr. Co-Chair, do you have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move House Bill 357, version 32-LS1575/A from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note, and authorize legislative legal services to make conforming changes.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, House Bill 357 is moved from committee. Brief at ease. House Finance on the record at 10:35 a.m. This concludes our agenda for this morning. Our next meeting will be this afternoon at 1:30, where we will consider House Bill 183, Criminal Justice Data Analysis Commission, and Senate Bill 20, Out-of-State Teacher Reciprocity. I will remind folks that we will be taking public testimony on House Bill 283, the capital budget, and that will be from 4 to 6 p.m. today. And you can also submit written testimony to house.finance@akleg.gov. And if you're calling in for testimony, you need to have called in by 5:45 p.m., and testimony will be limited to 2 minutes. So with that, at 10:36 a.m., we are adjourned. Thank you.